Welcome to The Pew, the place where everyday guys talk about everyday things in front of the one person who can do something about it, Jesus Christ. Now here's your host, just a guy in the pew, John Edwards.
Well, welcome back to The Pew, everybody. I am your host, John Edwards, and here across the table from me, as always, is my co-host and cohort and best friend, Victor Adams.
Well, thank you for the added awesomeness of that intro. But also,
like
I want to say...
give me $5 to say that.
That's right.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
It all comes back, you know. Pay it forward, as they say.
That's
but
right.
But also, for those that may have listened, I think last time we talked about like the cool things that we're celebrating our lives with, you know, with you and Angela and my daughter Lily graduating. Pretty much we're really not only graduating but having like on Wednesday, you know, if we're doing time frame at that, the 1st of May, where Lily had to present her final project.
Oh, for school,
and she did real well.
Graduate, yeah,
right. And then, but also for you, Angela had to present for her thesis.
Yeah, she had to defend her dissertation.
Yeah, dissertation.
Tuesday.
Yeah. So Lily did great. She passed well, and she got good marks. And same thing I've heard from Angela. So for both of us, it was kind of like holding our breaths. You know, make sure that Wednesday went through well, and everyone was happy. I know for you to celebrate Angela's hard work, and for me to celebrate Lily's hard work for 5 years in architecture school and program, and coming back to Memphis and work for a local firm. I'm just really excited for her.
Yeah, me too, man. Yeah. I admire anybody who can do all that stuff. I mean, I couldn't handle college. I had to get out of there.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not suggesting anybody do that. But I admire people that can see things through like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Angela's my age, and we got three kids, and she works full time. And, I mean, dude, it's been it's been a hard 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, she would tell you that. She's not in here today, but, like, she's probably out partying somewhere now that she's done.
Right,
and didn't tell me, but, no, she's just... you know, it was hard. Like, there was arguments. There was, you know, she felt like she was letting everybody down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just really, really tough. And so to see her through and then to see the smile on her face, you know, as soon as we got home from that, from celebrating dinner and things, and just a smile I hadn't seen in a long time, and just the relief. So I'm glad to get my wife back, man. Like, I really am. It's been... she's been here, but we've been like passing the night sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, because of our work and of hers. So I'm glad to have her back and glad that Lily had her success. And thank you to all the folks out there that prayed for us. I know a lot of people have said and sent messages on Facebook and congratulatory things when I posted that yesterday about her successes. And, you know, I know people have been praying for both of them. So thank you for your prayers and always, you know, keeping us in that and in your prayers, whether it's us or our family. So Victor, I'm excited to get into the show. We'll do that here in just a minute. You know, we just got back from Minnesota, so I want to say thank you to everybody at St. Anastasia Catholic Community. It was a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and getting to spend time with you guys there. Just with the mission and also launching that men's group. Folks, we love to do that. We're going to be doing that for hopefully as long as God allows us, right? So we've got some spots open and coming in this August that we have some free weekends to be able to fill with starting men's groups and launching men's groups, and we have plenty of time still to do that. So if you've been sitting there thinking about it, but you're thinking we've been busy or it's going to be a while before we can get to you, we can get to you in August. So if you're interested in that, go to our website at justaguyonthepew.com and go there on the first page and click any of the buttons that say learn about a men's ministry or start a men's ministry, fill out the form, and then right after you submit that, you can also schedule a call with me, get on the phone with us, and let's make this happen. It's very rare that we have an open month anymore with these things, with me being able only to travel 2 months. We had a cancellation and some other things move around, so we've got time in August. We'd love to spend it with you. So go to the website again at justaguyonthepew.com and go there and fill out the form, and let's start talking about going to your parish and helping you launch a vibrant ministry of men there in August. I also want to thank those folks that are out there, our partners in the pew that are supporting us. You know, it just continues to grow every day. And I'll tell you, folks, we have a goal set. We're trying to get to $15,000 a month in monthly donations. I know that sounds like a lot. We're not asking for one person to do it, but it's not a lot with all the listeners we have out there. If folks decided to give $15 or $20 or $50 a month, we could easily hit that. And why do we want that amount of money? Because that's what it takes, basically, to operate this ministry. And there are months sometimes where we don't have events events and things like that to support the ministry. So we're trying to be able to make sure that we have the revenue coming in all the time. And then whatever we bring in over that allows us to bring on other help, to invest in other technology, to bring more things into the studio, to help people in that way. But it also allows us to bring on staff. People that can go out and do this. I've been in conversation with a guy that would be perfect to go out and help and to do the things that I'm doing, and we could multiply the number of groups that we're starting every month, but I can't do it right now because I can't afford to pay him. So if we have money coming into the ministry like that, beyond just the event money, it's going to help us to continue to grow. There's a demand right now for our work, right? I mean, it just really is. And folks, I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk about this in the episode, but men are isolated and they're alone. I'm walking right now personally with 10 different men in the last month that God has put in my life that have been in terrible places that are trying to come out of them. And that's the real work that we're doing, is going into men's lives and helping them find the Lord, helping them remain in Him and come back to Him if they've been away from Him, so that they can be part of the vine and part of the branches and those things that we're going to talk about today, and that they could change their life. And so many men, I don't know what it is here in the last month or so, but men are just coming out of the woodwork saying, enough is enough. I'm tired of being alone. I'm tired of being in my mistakes. I'm tired of living this life. I want something different. And folks, that's what we're offering them. We're reaching a hand down from this ministry, pulling them out of the gutter and out of the muck, but we can't do it without you. So please, consider becoming a partner in the Pew. Help us reach our goal. By the end of the year, we want to get to $15,000 a month in monthly donations. I know we can do it with your help. I give to things out of my own life, and I know I don't always have the money or the way to do it, but I continue to give. And the funny thing is, God always gives me a way to continue to do it. So I know we'll do the same thing for you. So if you want to become a monthly partner in the Pew, you can go to justaguyinthepew.com. And in the top right corner, there's a button there that says donate. You can do everything there. There's also information where you could send checks there with the address and everything for the ministry. Folks, you can also go to donorbox.org/pew, donorbox.org/pew, P-E-W. Either way, you'll be able to give. Folks, thank you for listening to that. I wouldn't ask if it wasn't so important. I hate asking for money. I don't like it, but I believe in what we're doing. I know what we're doing is helping. We are working with dioceses, with parishes, with individuals, with any man that's willing to want to change his life and is willing to allow the Lord into it. That's what we're doing. So if you want to be a part of that, even from a distance, when you give your money, you become a part of it. When you support us, you're giving us the means to do the work, which means you are part of the work. So I invite you into the work of Pew Ministries at Just a Guy in the Pew to become a partner with us on a monthly basis. Again, you could do that at justaguyinthepew.com. Finally, I just want to say that we're going to have some pilgrimage announcements coming up soon. We have one we're going to announce that's in May of next year, but we also just put one for March. I'm waiting for all the marketing things and the things to be okay to announce, but just keep on your calendar and in the back of your mind, we're going to have two pilgrimages next year to amazing places with amazing priests. We'll talk about that more hopefully the next month or so. So thank you for listening. Vic, I want to jump into the show, man. You know, I let a little bit out of the bag there, talking about some of those things and the needs of men. But today's episode is called Death by Isolation. And I know it sounds like a grim thing, but it's the truth. When we're isolated and alone, we can die a long, slow death, right? A lot of times becoming our own judge, jury, and executioner. And the reason I brought this up is, one, because of the readings last week that the church was taking us through. I love this time as we're in the Eastertide and going through this and seeing the journey of the apostles in Acts and the arguments of the early church and the debates and them really trying to figure out how to live in the faith. Like, who do we minister to? The Gentiles, the Jews, both? They're talking about all of these things, but alongside of the beauty we see of the church growing and coming into their understanding, because Jesus didn't just leave a blueprint, right? He didn't say, do exactly this. This is the gift of the church, you know, that he left us and the body of men and the apostles that started to figure this out and hand it down in divine revelation. So there's time spent on that last week, but also in the Gospels, it's just Jesus at the Last Supper talking to these disciples about everything they need to know because he's about to be gone.
Right.
And at the time, they probably didn't have that great understanding of why is he saying all this? Right. We're just at supper. We've had supper a lot. Like, what's different about this one? And that's when he starts to get into really like his last words. Like, it's almost like if you knew you were going to die tomorrow and you had things you needed to say to somebody, and you were sitting there going through them, this is what Jesus was doing.
Right.
Like, and this is why he starts to talk about the vine and the branches, and he talks about remaining in him, and he talks about he's going to build rooms for them, and all these things. And so as I was reading through the readings, you know, obviously the main highlight of it is the vine and the branches, which so many of us have heard and read through and may know by heart. But I think it's something we need to go back through, because there are so many men isolated, Victor. I mean, we had our group last night in formation night, and there was six or seven new guys that have come in there that are struggling and are finally deciding to come out of hiding, to come out of these places of shame and hoping that someone can help them. Finally, at wit's end, saying like, enough's enough. I can't do this by myself. God, I need God in my life, but I don't know how to have God in my life, and I need other people. Mm-hmm. So I want to read the vine and the branches, because here, Jesus, he really gives us a clear-cut message. I mean, he's basically saying, look, there's two options. You stay attached to the vine, you stay attached to the branches, and I am the vine, my Father is the vine grower. So through him, through me, you're going to receive this life-giving sap, which is the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and it's going to give you what you need to stay in tune with me. Now, you're also going to be pruned, aka suffering, things that you have to go through to remove things from your life. But if you remain in me, you're going to bear fruit, right? You're going to bear fruit. And that's why people cut back trees and things every year after they've borne fruit, because they're preparing them to bear fruit again. But he also goes into talking about what happens if you don't remain in him. And this is where the isolation comes in. So I want to read really quickly through John 15, 1 through 8. And this is what we're talking about here, the vine and the branches. So it says, Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that he does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Again, he's talking to the apostles. He says, remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into the fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. So Victor, like, I want to just focus here on this first part about, I mean, on the second half of this mm-hmm. reading, when he's saying, okay, if you remain in me, here's the good stuff. But if you don't, here's the bad stuff. Because this is something we have to realize, right? This is something that we have to really come to grips with in our life. Because this may be where a lot of us are, is we're not remaining in Christ. And we wonder, why am I still struggling with the same things? Why can I never get a leg up? Why is life so hard? Why is everything so difficult? Why do I keep finding myself in these vices and these never-ending cycles and these rinse and repeat situations with all the terribleness of my life? Well, Jesus is telling you right here. He's saying basically, just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. Whoever remains in me will bear fruit. He says, because without me, you can do nothing. And this is where so many people are in their life. And he says, anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. This is what we're experiencing in this isolation, this withering, and we feel ourselves slowly dying and slowly losing everything about ourselves and finding ourselves in this dark pit. And I know this because I felt it in my own life, but before these obviously last few years, but he's saying they'll be thrown into the fire and they will burn. This is what waits for us in isolation. And isolation is one of the biggest downfalls and contributors to the downfall of a man. In the world we live in now, we live in a greater time of isolation than we ever have before. Mm-hmm.
Well, in that scripture he said, you know, Jesus says, I'm the vine and my Father is the vine grower. So if anyone knows anything, if they visit a vineyard or whatever, everything is in neat rows. Everything is taken care of. Like, the soil has to be perfect. You know, the vine grower has to manage the everything. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if the weather's too much, you know, has to kind of prepare for everything.
Pull the weeds,
all that stuff. So God the Father is the vine grower. And if some of us know that there's training wire, you know, that the vine, the branches are tied to. So in a sense, if we can get deeper into that analogy, saying, well, that's God's will for our lives. He has a track for us.
Yeah.
And we try to grow off it, and we grow off it, then, yeah, we're going to be pruned because we're not following his will. And that's where suffering comes from. But if we are in his will, then we are tied to that guide wire of keeping him, his son, in our life. But also that we try to be the vine grower ourselves in our life.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. That's where isolation becomes, because we are not connected to the vine, because we remove ourselves thinking that we're in control of our own spiritual, our own life, you know? Yeah. That I am the captain of my own soul. Well, no, you're not. You know, yeah. That's the reality. I think a lot of people are realizing that things have gone well for you, well, because you've been living in grace. But God has removed that grace to make you suffer, to realize that you need him.
Yeah.
It's not the other way. I mean, he wants you, but it's like he loves you so
much. He allows it, yeah.
He allows you to say, I love you and I don't love you, God. You know, and so that's where I think a lot of men are in this isolation. Not like, you know, we could be isolated in the physical world, right? I mean, we can like choose to live lonely and stuff like that. But the thing is, we still need community. That's why the church is there, to worship collectively.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you know, when we're isolated in the spiritual self, that is when we are like vulnerable to the attacks.
Yeah.
Of impure thoughts, of things that just make us feel like we're not worthy.
Yeah.
Or we look at ourselves as if we're not a gift to anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
And you start to look, right. You start to swirl down the drain.
Right.
That's what happens. I mean, and there's lots of things that talk about that. I mean, Proverbs 18:1, it says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, mm-hmm. which is what you're talking about. You said right. You become your own vine grower, right? You start to say, well, I want to be the captain of my own life. Again, what mm-hmm. you said, I want to write my own story. I want all these things, and we think that we know better than God. And it's not like you're saying, like, I know better than you, God, in your mind. But you start to trust yourself more than you start mm-hmm. to trust him. And you start to think, no, this is the path that I think that I need. This is what I think I want. Right. This is what
You're taking too long, God. I'm going to make the decision for you. Yeah.
And so what happens is, you know, we start to isolate ourselves. We chase our own desires. And then it says he rages against all wise judgment. Mm-hmm. So what Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Well, what is that wise judgment? Mm-hmm. It's God's will. He's the one with wisdom. He's the one with the perfect view of our life and what he wants and what he made us for. But we pull away from that, like you said, a vine that gets off of the training wire. And then when the vine grower comes by, he snips it, because mm-hmm. we're going off somewhere where we're going to fall to the ground. We're going to die. We're going to be mm-hmm. eaten by animals. We're going to be all those things, you know, that would happen to grapes or anything, muscadines or anything else on a vine that would grow like that. But there's some other things that saints have said too about it, like St. Francis of Assisi. He says, when the soul is troubled, lonely, and darkened, then it turns easily to the outer comfort and to the empty enjoyments of the world, which is where you see men in isolation. They begin to turn because they're troubled, they're lonely. That's what starts with this isolation, is mm-hmm. this great kind of loneliness. You pull back a little bit because maybe you don't feel like you fit in, or you don't feel like there's a place for you, or because of the shame and the mistakes you've made. And so you kind of start to pull away, and you start to look towards the comforts and the enjoyments of the world. This is why there's, you know, millions of, you know, 40-year-old men sitting in their parents' basement in their underwear playing video games all day long. This is why there are guys that are hiding addictions to drugs, to alcohol, to porn. I remember when I was in the midst of my addictions, Angela would always, and she had no idea, like, she saw me drinking, but at this point I wasn't drinking enough to set off flags in front of her. It was after she went to bed, mm-hmm. but she had no idea I was doing the drugs. And I remember she would come in and be like, hey, let's go somewhere tonight. Well, I'd already taken a few lines of cocaine and had a couple beers. I'm like, no, I don't go anywhere, because I didn't want to be around anybody. I thought, well, I've got my couch and my drugs and my alcohol and my own little world, and I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care what you want. I don't need any of that stuff. I got what I need right here. I don't even really need you. Like, you can go watch a movie in the back or do whatever you want, because I'm fine, mm-hmm. right? And really what it was I don't want to be around other people, because they're going to see me. They're going to understand something's wrong. They're going to wonder. I'm going to act all, you know, fidgety and weird and awkward around them. And they're going to go like, what's wrong with your husband? And then she's going to find out. So what do? Like, the devil gets us involved in these things so that we willingly pull back. And at first, it's not that way. Like, you know, he wants to cut us off from the vine, obviously, because he knows that without the life-giving grace of Christ, as you've alluded to, you'll slowly wither and die, and you're easy to pick off. Mm-hmm. This is why, like St. Peter talks about in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11, he says, discipline yourselves and keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Well, what's happening? Like, I love this image because we watch Discovery Channel all the time, or like Swamp People and stuff like that. And, you know, you'll see the lions and the gazelles, and the gazelles are running, and the lions are just kind of sitting there in the weeds or like in the grain, mm-hmm. and just sitting there looking through this tall grass at them. And the gazelles are aware they're there for the most part because they've lived there forever. They know mm-hmm. the dangers of where they are. But eventually one of them will just take off to the side, and all of a sudden you see those lions get up. And they've been sort of circling them anyway, but they wait for that one to run off, just like that vine that grows off of the training wire. And boom, here comes there's five of them on top of them. Yeah. They're ripping the thing apart. That's what the devil is doing. He's waiting for you to start moving away from the rest of the world, the church, mm-hmm. The body of Christ, the friends in your life, and to start turning away because y'all haven't been vulnerable with people. You haven't been honest. You haven't trusted people. You haven't trusted the Lord. So you start interiorly moving away. Mm-hmm. It's like that Homer Simpson meme where he's moving backwards into the bushes until he's completely right. covered.
Yeah.
Right? That meme's been used for everything. We slowly start to do that. And he finishes, he continues to say, resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. This is the other part of isolation. You forget that everybody else is going through things too. I'm the only one with problems. I'm the only one that's weird. I'm the only one that struggles. I'm the only alcoholic in the world. I'm the only one that struggles with porn. And the devil keeps going, yep. Yep, mm-hmm. yep, you are, and you're disgusting, and you need to just shut yourself off from the world and be disgusting in your own little world, because nobody wants you, right. everybody will see through you, and you aren't going to be wanted by God or by anybody. So we break off into that place. He continues to say, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. St. Peter knows what this feels like, right? And after you have suffered, what does Christ say to him earlier in the Gospels? Peter, the devil has asked for you, or Simon, the devil has asked to sift you like wheat. Mm-hmm. And after you have gotten back up, turn and strengthen your brother. So Peter had this time of isolation too. I guarantee you, sitting in that room, even in the room, the upper room with his brothers, he was sitting there in shame and didn't want to be around any one of them. Because he probably felt like they're all looking at me because I denied him to his face, even though they all ran. Mine was worse. And that's what the devil tries to do, he tries to magnify that our mistakes are greater than anybody else's, so that we pull away and we isolate. So this is what happens. And Henry Nouwen talks about this too, you know, an old Dutch priest, Catholic priest. Mm-hmm. He says, I realize that healing begins with our taking our pain out of its diabolic isolation. Let me stop stuttering and say that again. He says, I realize that healing begins with our taking our pain out of its diabolic isolation and seeing that whatever we suffer, we suffer it in communion with all of humanity, and yes, all of creation. In so doing, we become participants in the great battle against the powers of darkness. Mm-hmm. Our little lives participate in something larger. So what's he saying there? Our healing doesn't take place until our pain pulls us out of this diabolic isolation. Why? What does diabolic mean? This devilish, this evil isolation. That's what he's pointing out, is like where you are is evil, and you're giving in to the devil, and you're allowing him to keep you in solitary confinement. And let's talk about that, Victor. What is solitary confinement? When people are in jail and they act up, what do? They put you in solitary confinement, isolation for days, like with no contact with anybody, a little bit of food, no daylight, four walls, no windows. And what do that for? To break your will, to break your spirit, to make you give up hope. That's really what that's for, because if they've got prisoners that continually are violent to one another, they put them in there and keep them in there until they think they're sufficiently broken. Like, and that's what isolation is from the devil for each and every one of us. He sees us hanging off that vine, off that branch, away from the rest of the vine, away from that training line that you talked about, training wire, and he goes and he tries to take advantage of us, right? And this is why the Lord also says he prunes so that it falls to the ground and dies,
right.
So that it realizes you can't grow on your own. You have to start again. A new branch will come in that place, and maybe this time we'll get it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we have to die to ourselves. So here we are, the devil, he's trying to isolate us. And like I said, it's just like in a prison cell. And John Henry, or not John Henry Newman, Henry Nouwen is saying, it's our pain that brings us out of this and out of this diabolical isolation so that we can see that we suffer, yes, but so does everybody else. And in that, that's where we can find communion with one another in our humanity and all of creation. And then we can do battle. We cannot sit on the sidelines and say, I refuse to get in the game because I'm not worthy to play and I'm not good enough to be in, mm-hmm. but get into the game and start to help to win the battle against the powers of darkness. And he says, he finishes that, in our little lives, which is how we see ourselves, mm-hmm. in isolation, what can I possibly do? There's nothing I could do. Why even try? We see ourselves as little and broken and insignificant. And he says, even in our little lives, we could participate in something larger.
Right.
And this is the point of why God is trying to get us, or Jesus is trying to get us to realize here, you have to be attached to the vine. Like, without me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing except lose yourself in this slow death of isolation. And the thing is, the devil wants to beat you to the point of where you make it voluntary.
Right.
Like, you're showing up for your isolation like a guy clocking in voluntarily. You're not being forced there. You're not being dragged there. You now have listened to the lies so much in your life that you're voluntarily removing yourself from community, from the church, from Christ, from the world. And that's the sad part, is that we don't even realize we're choosing to do it because we're so far down the rabbit hole believing the garbage that he's put in our minds.
Well, you know, the opposite of isolation is community.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I think it's so important for men and women who have found themselves isolated in the sense of the spiritual life to get back into the church.
Yeah.
Because the church is a community of Christ. It is the bride of Christ. So if you're struggling with something, find a group like we talk about all the time on the show for men. I mean, John's going all over the place to setting up communities like this. And that's where the power is of men coming together in the pain, sharing, supporting each other, and learning and growing together in accountability. That is what the other church was so successful at growing, is because they taught, they were accountable, they grew together, they worshiped together, they loved each other, and their whole passion was to tell others about Christ.
Yeah.
And when you don't speak about what Christ has done in your life, you're quiet. You know, and the joy that should be there, you've kind of like just, you know, numbed away.
Yeah.
And that's probably just to pain, anguish, trauma, or just feeling like God just kind of left you, but he didn't leave you. It's just that you just had something that you didn't know how to deal with.
Yeah.
But going back to what Nguyen said, and you know, obviously in the scriptures we said, and there's another individual you're going to talk about soon, about the difference between isolation and being part of community. Because when we're part of community, we find our fulfillment. I mean, that's why Mass is so important to Catholics, because you are participating in a prayer at large with the whole community of Christians.
Yeah.
And when you're part of that, receiving the Eucharist, And thanking God for all the blessings he has given you, even in the sufferings that you have received, you know, you are feeling the graces of what it's like from all the other saints before us. And it is an amazing part to be part, you know, to be part of history of the church, but also to be still alive to share the good news.
Yeah.
And that's what the community is all about. We come together, we support each other, but then we share the good news with others.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I mean, I love your analogy there, because that is what the early church is doing. And this is why these readings are paired together, because they had to remain in Christ to figure out what Christ wanted for his church. That's why, you know, yes, Paul and Peter had arguments in the beginning about who should be ministered to and who shouldn't. But again, God gave Peter a vision, and they came to agree, and they started to learn and build on that, and the church was built. But none of that would have been possible if they didn't remain in Christ. If all these apostles had just gone off, you know, back to their lives or whatever, and isolated again, then the church wouldn't exist. And you're right, that's what happens. And right now, yeah, you can. When we go to Mass, I mean, it's not like you need to think beyond the parish walls that you're in and the 100 people that may be in there with you, but think about the millions around the world of Catholics that are doing the same thing as you, receiving the Eucharist, receiving the sacraments, and we need each and every one of us in the body of Christ. Because you're exactly right, that's why the church is suffering now. Because too many of us have said, well, that's somebody else's job, right? That's for John and Victor or Christophanic or Father Mike Schmitz or Sister Miriam or whoever else you want to name out there to do. That's their job. We just sit here and kind of listen. No, it's the call of every single one of us. And there can even be an isolation in the fact of, I'm not going to evangelize, right? Like, I'm just going to go to church. I'm going to do my own thing with my family. We're going to go home and I'm going to make sure my family's in right order, which is good. We should do that. But we have to go beyond that. Now, how do I look to the others? I mean, Victor, look, I'm walking right now with 8 to 10 guys that have called randomly in the last few weeks. We've talked about on the last few shows, and they continue to come. Like, every other day, somebody's like, hey, can you talk to my son? Or their son is reaching out, and he's in a bad way, or their husband, or a brother, or a father, or somebody, a grandfather, and I'm walking with every one of these men. Now, do I have hours on end in my life to do that? No, but, like, that's the ministry God's calling me to. If I said, no, I'm sorry, I just have to make podcasts, and I just have to, like, go to church and do my thing, and then go to the missions that you know, call us and support us, you know, want us to work with us. No, that's all I'm doing. Right. Then I would have turned away 12 men that are sitting here with tears in their eyes going, like, I need help. And for whatever reason, people have told me, God's told me I need to talk to you. And I do love to walk with those people. But it would be very easy to isolate and go, nope, you can watch the show just like everybody else, or you can go to a mission I go to and you can hear it there. There's so many different forms of isolation. We've spent a lot of time talking about just the men that are in addictions and everything else. But so many of us have problems with unforgiveness and anger and all these other things. But a big problem we all have is isolating away from evangelization and just saying, nope, I'm going to do my and Jesus thing over here. And that's not what it means to have a personal relationship with Christ. That personal relationship with Christ is meant to inform you of who he is so he can change who you are, and then you become passionate about going and telling others. This is why the church, this is why Peter went out and he converted 3,000 people through his first homily, through his first sermon, right out of the upper room, because he came out and he basically shared the kerygma with people, and he didn't say, well, it's his job or it's your job. Right. I'm going out there and doing this, and this is what every one of us is called to. So many men right now, they are in these places of isolation, and the only way that we get out of that, Victor, is to remain in him. So, like, let's talk about that. Okay, so John, we've been talking about the dangers of isolation. We've been talking about what saints say about it. Victor's given some great illustrations today on the vine and what that means and kind of breaking the part of those things down. But, like, how do we do it? Like, how do we stay with the Lord? And he says that. He says, remain in me. Jesus reminds us again and again and again in this passage, apart from me, you can do nothing. This is why in other parts of Scripture, he says, come to me, all you who labor and burden, right? For my yoke is light, and my burdens, you know, my burdens are light, and my yoke is whatever. I can't remember the phrase right now. I'm losing it off the top of my head. Gosh, it's embarrassing. I've said it a million times. But he's basically saying, my burden is light, and my yoke is easy. That's the words I'm looking for. Thank you, Lord and Holy Spirit. And his yoke is easy. So what he's saying is, like, come to me with this stuff. Like, you can't do this on your own. You can't sit there and bear all those things. And you're going to sit there and be in an ever... It's like when in a war where they know where somebody is and they're constantly just shelling that place where they are in the hopes that everything crumbles around them. That's what happens when we try to do it ourselves. So the Lord is saying in Scripture, like, this is why I came, so that you may have my joy. He says all these comforting words to us because he's getting us to come back to him and remain in him. Like, don't try to go do it yourself. So he's saying remain in him. So how do we remain in him? Well, Victor, you talked about it a little bit earlier. Mass. Like, people ask me all the time, John, how have you maintained this life? How do you not going back to drinking 30 beers a night and doing tons of cocaine and watching porn and all those things? Because of daily Mass. Because I receive the Lord in the Eucharist. And every single day I go and I spend 35, 40 minutes of my time at Mass remembering who it is that keeps me who I am and receiving him physically so that I have the strength to do it. Then I spend time in adoration. I go and I look at him and he looks at me. And I ask him for his plan for my life and his guidance. We have to seek him in those things. Remaining in him doesn't mean sit here and wait for Jesus to walk by with some pixie dust and make us holy. We have to search out. We have to seek him in our lives and seek for that silence in Mass and in adoration and in prayer. I mean, the sacraments in general, we have to go and receive his mercy. So you want an influx of his grace? then go and attach yourself back to the vine in the sacrament of reconciliation and confession. Lord, I've walked away from you. I've found myself growing off the training wire again. Bring me back to you, right? Prune these things that are distracting me and let me experience your mercy again, and let that sap flow through that vine into that branch and then into me so that I can go and bear fruit. So those are the things we have to do. The church lays it out in liturgy, in prayer, you know, in the scriptures. We need to be in his word every day so that when we feel these places of isolation, we can open up our Magnificat or our Bibles, and Jesus has the word of the day, which happens to be, remain in me and I in you, and I love you. I'm not going to leave you. Mm-hmm. Right? So this is what we need to do, is to pour ourselves into these things. It's like we keep waiting for somebody to tell us some new thing that's going to make it easier to have a relationship with Jesus. There's nothing that's different than the things that the church has been doing for 2,000 years. So it's not the church that needs to change. It's us. Mm-hmm. It's every one of us that needs to say, okay, these things that I haven't wanted to do, Lord, I'm giving up my will, which every one of these men have said. Like, I surrender, Lord. John, tell me what I need to do to have a better life. And then I've said, all right, I'll meet you at Mass Tuesday morning at 8:15. And then we're going to go spend time talking. We're going to go through the Word, and we're going to pray, and we're going to check in with each other, and I'm going to disciple you. Because that's what people need. And so, Victor, that's how we remain in Christ, is to seek him out and to build that relationship. And then the second point you made is in relationship with the other branches, mm-hmm. right? You mentioned community. This is why what we're doing is important. You cannot get to heaven on your own. You can't. You can't. We're going to fail every single time. This is why Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, because he didn't want them to be alone. He knew there was too much danger and too much susceptibility in our weakness and our humanity to give up, to fall, to fail, and to just simply move away from them. So he always sent them out two by two, right? Even with Paul, he had Barnabas, and then after Barnabas, he had Timothy and Titus and Mark and all these other ones, right? So again, in Scripture, it proves that we can't be alone. So we have to remain in relationship with the other branches. Jesus is in all of us when we remain in him, but we remain in him by remaining in the other. That's the thing. Jesus is in all of us. If we are all in line with the church and in the sacraments and we're receiving the Lord in the Eucharist, then the Lord is in us. So how do we remain in Jesus? By remaining in each other, right? Community, we find Jesus in others, and in connecting to each other, we reconnect with Christ. Right? That's why when we go to our group, Victor, and we're having bad weeks or whatever it is, we come out of there feeling revived and rejuvenated because someone else spoke to us the words of Christ and was a Christ to us in our life. And this is why we need community. Jesus, what part of being in the vine is being in community with one another. And that's the mission of this ministry. That's why I'm so passionate about it, because I have tried to do these things on my own, and everyone here knows where it got me. But when I met you, when I met David, when I met Nick, when I met John Hoffman, when I met all these other people that I've now met in ministry that are my real friends and my brothers that walk with me every day, authentic friendships, it provided me accountability and a constant way to tap into the vine that is Jesus Christ, to receive the grace that flows out of him through you, through the other friends that we have. So that's the answer of how to. You cannot do it by yourself. You have to, on your own, seek your relationship with Christ when you're by yourself. I tell the men, and you tell the men in the group all the time, you can't just come here on Wednesday night for an hour and think your life's going to get better. Now you're going to go put in the work that Christ gave you tonight through us and through the scriptures and through our prayer. So you have to do that, but you have to walk together with other people. And Victor, that's what my how-tos would be. What do you have, anything you want to add here?
Well, I mean, I know you probably said it, but Father Chizik already. Because the book you were telling me about, I got it for a gift.
He leadeth me.
Yeah. So I did get it. I haven't read past first chapter yet because I have like four of the books I'm reading at the same time.
Sure.
But anyway, segue. Apologize.
That's your mind palace back in full tilt.
Right. So. If you get to the point where John has mentioned, I think he's like last week, where he was in isolation and he had comfort in isolation, but yet he was being traumatized in the sense of
Father Chizik.
But then with the worst condition some of us think there is, like working in a Siberian mine camp or prison camp, he was able to be part of a community and build a community of faithful individuals, but also to minister to them and being kind of like a pillar of that work camp. And that's where he found his, I guess you say, his will, you know, for what he was created to be. Because even in the darkest, deepest, despairing places, whether it's physically or mentally, you know, once we realize that that this is a battle that I'm losing because I'm trying to fight it on my own. And you invite Christ into the struggle and you say, I'm forgive me for everything I've done. Obviously, I am not who I think I am, or I am being someone that I used thought I was, and that's not who I am. Who I am is a son of God,
beloved
son of God, and also a brother of Christ, and come into my life. You know, and when that changes, your whole attitude changes, your whole life changes, your whole day changes, because you're living not for yourself anymore, but for a greater purpose.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us have lost what our greater purpose is.
Sure.
But the great thing is we can find it again.
Yeah.
And that's just by going back to whatever.
Returning to the vine.
Returning to the vine and just saying, you know, teach me to grow again.
Yeah.
And I'll be with you. I'll be in you and you be in me.
Yeah, it's what he wants is abide in me and then abiding together, right? Abiding together in him. And you're right, Father Chizik, I mean, he says in the book, like while all the freezing cold, the frostbite, the digging, the frozen ground and mines and all the physical labor when he was surrounded by other people, what was actually worse for him was when he was in what he kind of describes as a better situation in a nice kind of nicer prison cell in Moscow, which had a bed and all these things. That was the worst torture for him because he had no contact with anybody but his interrogators. And that was what broke his will to get him to sign this false confession. But when he went into what most of us would consider a further hell of all the physical labor and the criminals that were attacking him and taking away his stuff and just the physical abuse of it all.
Yeah, being cold, like, being...
That was nothing compared
to the elements,
to the isolation of not surrounding, being around anyone. And so... Folks, this is the thing. We're all going to get there if we don't do what Christ says and to remain in him. God is not somebody who's saying one thing and he's going to pull the rug out from under you when you actually try it. He's with you. As Victor was talking about a minute, when you give his life back to him, he comes alongside you in these battles, just like David and Goliath. David would have had no chance to be able to slay Goliath if it wasn't for him knowing that he had been anointed and that God was with him. That's what he said, I come in the name of the Lord. And when we start to say that in our own lives, instead of saying, I come in the name of myself, which gets us in these places of isolation and downtroddenness and just places of giving up, then our life can change. So that's our prayer for you, is to stop dying a slow death by isolation and to have the courage to be vulnerable and the courage to trust in God and to return to the branch, right? To return to the vine and become a branch that bears fruit in your own life, but also in the life of others. So brothers, that's going to be our prayer for you today. So Victor, we're going to take it to prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come into such a subject that can be so lonely and honestly isolating. There's so many men out here that the devil is convinced that they're alone and that they're always going to have to stay in that place with no hope and no help. Lord, you are the vine and we are the branches. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that sap that gives us everything we need to not only bear fruit in our own lives, but the lives of others. Lord, you've made us to remain in you, and through that, we remain in community with you and each other. So give us the grace to do that. Give us the courage to come to you. And Lord, help us to come out of this death by isolation and come into new life through you. In the name of the Father,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Just a Guy in the Pew. To find out more about John Edwards or have him come to speak to your parish, group, or conference, go to justaguyinthepew.com or send us an email at justaguyinthepew@gmail.com.